This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Federal regulators have begun a special inspection of the Sharon Harris nuclear plant near Raleigh. The plant was shut down last week after its owner, Duke Energy Progress, reported a flaw in a section of the lid that covers the nuclear vessel. Turns out that flaw went undetected for over a year. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission wants to know why. Joining us now to talk more about that is John Murawski. He's a reporter for the News and Observer. Welcome, John.
How are you?
I'm doing well. So tell us exactly why Sharon Harris was shut down last week.
So the nuclear reactor is contained within a protective vessel, and that vessel itself is in a containment building. But we're talking about the vessel right now, and the vessel is essentially like a tank that envelops the reactor itself, and it has a lid, and that lid has about 65 holes in it where they put nozzles in for various purposes to monitor, control, and do other things within the reactor. Nozzle 49 on the underside of that lid is welded, so it's welded to the lid, and right at that weld is a 1/4 inch, what they call a flaw. And they're not exactly sure what it is, whether it's corrosion or whether it's cracking from stress or just the beginnings of a crack. It was detected over a year ago in ultrasonic tests. And somehow, either Progress Energy officials or their contractors who would be performing these tests did not notice that it was detected in ultrasonic tests. So they put the lid on and they ran the plant.
All right, so they ran a test. The test comes back. Either they noticed that this thing came up or not, one way or another, hasn't been reported until now. I guess the first question is it dangerous?
Well, it's a it's not immediately dangerous, but it is a violation of NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission standards. And it's potentially dangerous in the sense that if it's undetected, it could get worse. So it was 1/4 inch long, let's say 14 months ago, and we don't know if it's still 1/4 inch long, but we'll find out when they issue, the NRC is going to issue a report after this special inspection. And then we'll know exactly how much bigger it got, or if it got any bigger, or maybe some guess as to how old it is. But I don't think you could say it poses any immediate danger, but you do not want stress or cracks and weld points on a lid to a reactor vessel that's under extremely high heat and extremely high pressure.
Right, and as I understand the regulation, it is if you do a test and the test comes up with something like that, you need to tell us about it. And for one reason or another, either you didn't notice the test result or you chose not to tell us, you didn't get us that information in a timely way after the report at least detected this flaw.
Right, the information should have been reported and the matter should have been fixed. So that it wasn't reported and it wasn't fixed. So the NRC wants to know, to some degree, what the NRC is concerned with is the process of oversight. What steps were taken and where things fell apart,
yep,
so that it doesn't happen. So they may want to actually implement some kind of change in their regulations to apply to other nuclear plants in case other people are following a similar policy or similar process where this oversight or lack of oversight could have taken place.
Now, it's interesting that this flaw was first picked up by ultrasound over a year ago, but this was during the merger talks between Duke and Progress. Progress owned and built that facility, and then there was a merger. Could the merger itself and those talks have had any effect on this delay?
That's a merger is it was not only a merger, but it was a very contentious merger. It was rejected twice by federal regulators. Duke Energy was having buyer's remorse and second thoughts about that merger, and the parties were no longer on amicable terms. And in fact, the CEO of Progress, who was going to run Duke Energy, who was selected to run Duke Energy, was, 2 months away from getting fired, and those preparations were underway. So, to fire him as soon as the merger happened. So, of course, the people at Progress didn't know that he was going to be fired, but they weren't on speaking terms for months with Duke officials. And I think mainly Progress had problems at every single one of its nuclear plants in the year leading up to the merger. And they had several issues at Sharon Harris, and it had issues at the other plants as well. And one of the plants was actually shut down a number of times, and the performance, nuclear performance, plummeted, and it showed up in every one of the plants. And it's hard to know exactly why. One theory is that they had the Crystal River nuclear plant in Florida, which had been shut down since 2009 because they actually cracked the containment building trying to make repairs, and it's a multi-billion dollar expense to repair it, that they had basically, they were distracted by that problem so much that they took their eye off the ball. That's, you know, one theory. Any case, Duke Energy just recently announced they're not going to rebuild that plant in Florida. They're going to shut it down. They're going to mothball it. So it's too expensive for them to rebuild. So, you know, that's, you know, a plausible explanation. I don't think it was necessarily tied to the merger. I think it's probably more tied to nuclear issues, and the merger was just another level of distraction.
Well, how does this flaw and the shutdown at Sharon Harris fit into the larger history of that particular plant?
The Sharon Harris nuclear plant is the best performing plant in the Progress, what used to be Progress Energy, what is now Duke Energy Progress. That was their best performing plant, and that was always interesting that the best performing plant was, you know, close to downtown Raleigh, where the headquarters of the company was. And it's not clear whether people there were more motivated because they were so close to their bosses, or because it was a newer plant and it only had one reactor. The other plants were either older or had two reactors. But it was their best performing plant. So, I mean, it had problems back in the 80s, but really through the 90s and most of its existence, it had a good performance record by measures taken by the NRC. Now, there were always nuclear critics who criticized the fire safety standards, but it wasn't so much the performance of the plant, but rather the standards that the NRC was imposing, or the waivers that the NRC was granting to the Sharon Harris plant. But really, there was nothing wrong with the performance, and it was actually quite exemplary for that fleet.
Well, you talked about the fact that the newly merged firm of Duke Energy Progress has decided to shut down that plant in Florida, not to expand Sharon Harris. What are Duke Energy's future plans as far as nuclear energy in general in North Carolina?
Well, they're working on their William Lee nuclear plant for the Carolinas. So that is still on track. But they're not going to build four reactors. They would only build two because their growth projections are scaled back from what they used to be. They don't expect as much growth. And remember, these are two separate companies at one time. And so they had to build their own. You know, one of the reasons you combine companies is so that you can combine efficiencies. And one of the benefits of these merges is that you don't need, you know, instead of four nuclear reactors at $40 billion, you can build two nuclear reactors at half the price.
Is the reactor still shut down?
Sharon Harris, yeah, it's shut down right now before repairs, which will take several weeks. And it's also under inspection by the NRC.
Right. Any idea when that inspection might be complete and we'd hear that report?
The inspection might be complete tomorrow, or it might take an extra day or two. And the report will be out 45 days after the end of the inspection.
All right.
So I would say midsummer.
Midsummer we'll know what happened and why that flaw went undetected and or unreported, maybe a couple months from now. So Sharon Harris is shut down. I mean, that's interesting if you think about a whole sort of nuclear power plant shut. What does that mean for power distribution? What does Duke Energy Progress do to meet the demand once a plant is shut down like that?
Well, they have plant shutdowns for these plants for maintenance and also for refueling. So they are they handle these shutdowns on a regular basis for every one of their nuclear plants. Nuclear plants either shut down for every 18 months or every 24 months, and then they'll be shut down for a few weeks. And if there's extra maintenance, they'll be shut down longer. Usually they do this in the fall when the weather's cool, and they do it in the spring when the weather's cool. So typically they would do it in March. So this shutdown is happening at a time when the weather is slightly warmer, but we're still not, we're still not into the high 90s.
Right.
If you get into peak heat periods where they are maxed out on every one of their power plants, they have to go and buy power on the grid at maximum prices.
Right.
They're not there yet. That means they have to replace 960 megawatts. But they do have, they've combined their power plant, all their power plant operations. So replacing 960 megawatts is going to be a lot easier for the combined Duke Progress than it would have been for Progress by itself. it's not going to be a major issue. The customers wouldn't see it anyway. Any extra additional cost will be paid for by the company, by shareholders.
Well, speaking of additional costs, Duke has two rate hikes under review. Tell us about those.
So Duke has a approved rate hike that the Attorney General challenged at the state Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court agreed with the Attorney General that Duke Energy did not do a thorough that the Utilities Commission, in approving the rate hike, did not do a thorough enough analysis of the effect of that rate hike on customers and the state's economy. So the rate hike is still in effect, but the Utilities Commission will have to issue another order and do another analysis. And they may end up keeping the same rate hike in place, but simply provide additional justification for it, or they may slightly modify that rate hike.
Mm.
So that's for Duke Energy, for Duke Energy's 1.9 million customers in North Carolina. And that Progress has 1.3 million customers in North Carolina, which is a separate body of customers under a different rate. And they have a rate request pending before the Utilities Commission, and the Utilities Commission could issue a ruling, you know, any time, any week, any day, any month on that request. So there are two separate bodies of customers, and they have two separate rates.
All right, John, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you very much.
John Murawski is a reporter for the News and Observer. Coming up next, documents reveal a daring rescue in Nazi-occupied Albania. We'll find out more on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.